All right, so if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. That is our main text. I'm going to be showing you some other texts on the screen. This, of course, is a baptism service. And so today, I usually think of a different topic for a baptismal service. And I don't know, they sort of come to me. I don't know how. But this time, I thought the joy of salvation, that was the theme that I selected. So what is the joy of salvation? Well, we just sang about it. It's the joy of deliverance from sin and from its consequences. It's the joy that comes from being rescued. It's the joy that comes from someone stepping in the breach and doing for you what you could not do for yourself. In the history of Israel, as you know, Moses arrived in Egypt to free his people from their bondage. After a protracted negotiation session with Pharaoh, Moses led Israel out of Egypt when God sent the death angel and to slaughter the firstborn of Egypt. The people hurried off in the night. They witnessed the pillar of fire leading them, everything behind them of their past. They're going forward into an unknown future. And they thought, this is it. You know, the thing, some of them had scoffed when Moses said he was coming to lead them out, and some of them had criticized him in the process, and their toil got harder and so forth. And they think, wow, we're wrong. We're on our way. And then they heard the drumbeat of hooves in the background. They heard chariots pursuing them. They heard Pharaoh's army, the army of Egypt, the superpower of the day, pursuing them. And Moses led them right to the banks of the Red Sea. And they're trapped again. We're doomed. We should have known better than to trust Moses. And they complained. They said, in Exodus 14:11, then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? And I am sure they felt quite justified in that complaint. But you know the story. The Lord opened a way for them through the Red Sea. They were all saved. They came through on the other side. The army of Pharaoh began to pursue, and the waters came rushing in and destroyed the army of Pharaoh. Afterwards, Moses led the people of Israel in a song celebrating the deliverance. And we're going to look at part of that song a little bit later in the message. For the joys of salvation, though, I want to turn to Isaiah the prophet, and it is in Isaiah 12 where I'm going to be focusing my attention. Now, Isaiah prophesies much against sin. If you think about the prophets, you think often of how they are against the sin of Israel, and they're rebuking them for this, and they're rebuking them for that. And I remember somebody preaching one time, and he was talking about somebody who was feeling really depressed. He says, I don't know. He says, I'm reading my Bible every day, but I'm just so depressed. And he says, well, where are you reading? Well, he was reading in the prophets. He said, well, no wonder. Read somewhere else. That was the thing. But there is joy in Isaiah. And we're going to think about four names in Isaiah that lead to joy. So this is our meditation this afternoon. The joy of salvation, the first name, is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now, who can tell me what Emmanuel means? Okay, those who are polite, raise their hands. And those who just shouted it out, God with us. All right, God with us. Therefore, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. The setting here of Isaiah 7 is the rebuke of King Ahab. King Ahab was in a great deal of pressure. He was afraid. He had enemies to the north who were encroaching on his territory. The northern kingdom of Israel, so we have the divided kingdom. He's the king of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel was threatening to depose him along with the kingdom of the Syrians. And they were coming as partners. They didn't like Ahab. They were going to depose him and put a puppet of their own on the throne of David. And so Isaiah makes this prophecy. When Ahab refuses to ask for a sign, the Lord himself will give you a sign, he says. A virgin will be with child, will bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel. So the sign is the child, and the significance is that God is with us. Salvation means that man can enter a relationship with God. This is done through Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ. So God became a man. He enabled us to have a permanent relationship with him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation creates a new creature in us. We are in communion with God. The wall between us and God is broken down by the cross. The opportunity to have our prayers heard, to fellowship and to know our God comes because we have a spiritual union with God through his Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Second name I want to call your attention to is Mahershalal Hashbaz. My favorite name in all the Bible. Now, who knows what Mahershalal Hashbaz means? Anybody? Christy's trying. No, not the glory. That's Ichabod. It's about the booty. That's right. Hurry, hurry, booty, booty. All right? He means, this is the message of judgment. The judgment of, he is warning them. All right, well, here's the verse. Let me give you the verse. So God told him that he was going to have a son. This is Isaiah's son, by the way. I have lobbied for years for our young people to name a son, Mahershalal Hashbaz. And nobody takes me up on it. I don't know why. But anyway, it says, so I approached the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. Then the Lord said to me, name him Mahershalal Hashbaz, for before the boy knows how to cry out, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. So what this boy represented was a prophecy of judgment. It was a prophecy of judgment against those very kingdoms that Ahab, is that right? Did I say Ahab? That's the wrong name. It starts with A, isn't it? Ahaz. Oh, Wolf and I were afflicted with the same problem today. Okay? I don't know what it is. We've forgotten that part. We've forgotten what it is. Okay, so anyway, Ahaz, King Ahaz. And he's afraid, remember? Damascus, that's Syria. And Samaria, that's Israel. He's afraid of them. But he says, before this boy is weaned, before he's old enough even to talk, I am going to take away the wealth of Damascus, Syria, and the spoil of Samaria. So he's sending a message. The name of this boy means to the Assyrians who are going to remove this threat. God is going to raise them up for that purpose. He is going to make them free. So the message to Assyria is, hurry, hurry. There's much spoil and booty, okay? Spoils of war here for you. And that indeed is what happened. God's judgment came true. Now, in salvation, our Lord removes from us the accuser of the brethren. He strips him of his power in the Son he has sent. And so he has been despoiled. He has been taken care of. So Mahershalal Hashbaz. The third name is Shear Jashub, which is a good alternative name if somebody wanted that one instead of Mahershalal Hashbaz. And this one actually is again in Isaiah 7. It's all around, this whole section is all around these names. Chapter 7, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz. If I could only read, I could have got this right. Ahaz, you and your son, Shear Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. So Shear Jashub is Isaiah's older son. Isaiah had a way with names, I have to say. He really did. All right? So what does Shear Jashub mean? I have to look that one up. It means a remnant shall return. So Mahershalal Hashbaz is the message of judgment. The enemies of Judah will be taken care of. Shear Jashub is a message of hope. He's a symbol of hope that God will save. We know that a constant theme in the Old Testament is that there is going to be a remnant that is going to turn to God in the end. God will save Israel. even today that promise remains in place. We have the nation of Israel. It's at war right now in its territories. Now, this nation of Israel is not a believing nation. But the Bible teaches us that there's going to come a day when Israel will look on him whom they have pierced, and they will turn to him, and they will mourn for him as for an only son. That's in Zechariah. So this nation is chosen by God. They will return to God. The remnant will be saved. That is the message that comes from Shir Jashub. So the joy of salvation. God comes to be with us. He takes care of our enemies, and he promises salvation to the remnant. And there's one more name, and that's the name Isaiah itself. I'm going to give Isaiah 1:1 as the source for this name. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. And then he goes on. Notice he says, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He was sent to proclaim through the reigns of four kings. Isaiah is a name that is similar to Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. Isaiah means salvation of Yah, or Yahweh, or Jehovah. So that's what his name means. He celebrates. Now this gets us to Isaiah 12, where I called your attention. He celebrates the joy of salvation in Isaiah 12. And we're going to spend some time looking at that. It's one of the shorter chapters in the book of Isaiah. It's a chapter of joy. We're going to read the first three verses. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For although you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Now, this is part of this is a very well-known phrase in the Scriptures, especially that line, for the Lord God is my strength and song. It is actually a quotation from two other sources in the Old Testament, or perhaps at least one of them. The first time it was mentioned, and this is why I mentioned Moses at the beginning, at the end of after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea and gathered on the other side, Moses sang a song and led the people in a song. And verse 2 of Exodus 15 says, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. You think about those Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea, as they saw their deliverance from their enemies, as they saw absolute security, and then to sing this song, you would think that they would be full of joy. They would be full of joy at what God had done for them, and that they would be thankful and renewing their faith in him. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Interestingly, the same phrase occurs in Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Now, according to Wiersbe's commentary in Isaiah, he says that this was sung at the dedication of the second temple under Ezra. Now, I don't know when Psalm 118 was written. It's possible that it was sung in that setting. I'm sure it was sung in other occasions as well. The point is, though, that the psalmists and Isaiah are picking up on this theme, that when you trust in God, he may lead you through some very deep waters. He may lead you through some very great trials, but there is great joy in serving the Lord. Isaiah 12 concludes with these words, and in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And so today, as we gather for a baptism, this is a time of joy. It's a time where an individual believer has come to us. He's told us about his salvation testimony. He has talked about how he has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can save anyone from sin. And we praise the Lord for this testimony. In the declaration of baptism, we are going to lower faith down into the water. That represents his identification with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died and was buried. Our sins were laid on him and they were taken away into the pit. They were completely covered. And then just as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, so faith will rise from the water. This represents that he is rising to live for him, to live out a life of faith, of faithfulness, of joy, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We rise to live for him and one day to walk with him in heaven. So this is the joy of salvation. And I hope that as we thought about these words in the book of Isaiah and the song of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 12, the song of Moses, the song of Psalm 118, that you will be reminded of the joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and we'll close for this morning or this afternoon. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that he has done for us. We pray that as we worship and serve together, that we would have complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. I'm going to step forward that way. All right. Faith. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Savior from sin?
Yes.
Okay. Based on your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with him in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Okay, there you go. Okay, praise the Lord. One more song, and then Gordon, if you will close us in prayer, please.